Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is nice to talk with you, and last time we began our series, God is Good, with an introduction, in which we defined the word good in relation to God. When we say God is good, what do we mean by the word good? We said God's goodness is the perfection of His nature. God's goodness is His perfect standard for Himself and for all His creatures. Furthermore, His goodness is that which is wholesome, conducive to well-being, virtuous, beneficial, and beautiful. Good speaks of the Lord's excellence. To borrow the Latin, God is the summum bonum, the highest good. The Psalms repeatedly affirm that God is good. We will have a lot of text from the psalmist in the coming days, and Psalm 119, verse 68 says, in reference to the Lord, "You are good and do good." From this we conclude God is good and God does good. Everything that emulates from God is good. And we saw that first, the goodness of God is seen in His creation. I read for you the seven times in Genesis chapter 1 when God reflects on what He has made and He calls it good. And then in verse 31, reflecting on everything He has made, God says it is all very good. And I remind you, this is after the creation of man, Adam, and woman, Eve. So God applies very good to them. Think about that and let it impact you. The human body is a very good creation. Here is the psalmist again, this time in Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 and 14. "For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." This is a true reflection on the human body that the Creator God has crafted for each one of us. I grant that through the corruption of sin, our bodies are not what they were made to be. But still, what a remarkable physique God has made. For example, it is astounding how the body will heal from sometimes even harsh disease. Or think about how many internal organs we can actually survive without. In my family, I have a young person who is going to medical school. Recently, he came over for dinner, and always curious, I was asking him a series of questions related to medicine. One of those was this: name the internal organs a person can live without. We all know the external or seen organs. A person can live without a hand, a foot, a leg, an eye, and ear, etc. But what about the organs we cannot see? Well, it is a surprising list. We can live without one of our lungs, a kidney, the spleen, the appendix, the gallbladder, the uterus, the thymus gland, adenoids, tonsils, some of our lymph nodes, the fibula bones from each leg, and six of our ribs. And of course, through medicines and transplants, a person can live. Now, I want to be careful to say none of us want to lose those parts. There are complications when most of these go missing. However, the point is, the living God who put these bodies together, He made us so that we can continue to function without all of the internal organs most of us are born with. And when we have trouble with other parts, there is a built-in healing mechanism, which means we can get well after being sick to very sick. Well, no wonder the psalmist said, "You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He was right. Knowing several people currently dealing with sickness and disease, and praying for these people, I am reminded to be glad and grateful that God has woven together our bodies in such a way that they respond well to surgeries and medicines. This reflects the goodness and grace of our Creator. Maybe you are unwell, dealing with everything from a very bad flu to cancer. As you go through your treatment, marvel at how the Lord continues to preserve your life despite the disease which has taken up residence in your body. The doctors and scientists and others are working hard as we speak to invent solutions to what ails us. And they do so, whether they acknowledge it or not, at the pleasure of God, who is our great physician. He knows all about what makes us sick, because he is the one who made us and sustains us. This is part of the reason why it is so important to pray to God, to seek healing from him, and to intercede for doctors and nurses and other medical practitioners. He alone is our healer. Speaking of which, if you need prayer for something bad going on in your body, write to me and ask. I will be happy to pray for you and along with you, my friend. The man and the woman were a part of God's creation. We are a part of his creation. And then there is nature that we observe all around us. If we live in the countryside, this is easier to see. If we live in the city, this is something we have to work at identifying. As Christians, we believe God made nature. The plants, the trees, the sky, and the seas. It is offensive to our Heavenly Father to call this Mother Nature, when God is the Creator. Arthur Pink writes about this and highlights how wonderful it is, the tastes that animate our tongues, the flowers that are so riveting to our eyes and noses, and how our ears hear the birds singing in the trees. The human body God has made and called good interacts with the environment God has made and called good, and we are blessed by his goodness. Two verses come to mind. Psalm 33, verse 5, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." And Psalm 145, verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works." If you are able, get outside today or this evening. Take a hard look around. Thank God for his goodness in all the earth. Thank him for his mercies, which are over all his works. When you witness a bird sitting in a tree and chirping away, when you look from the trunk all the way up a big, tall, strong tree towering in the sky above you, when you go stargazing after dark, in all these activities, remember the goodness of God. And then God made the animals. Are you an animal lover? I am. And most times when I observe an animal, I am reminded the Lord God made them all. All creatures, great and small, the Lord God made them all. I say most times because I am still trying to figure out why he made rats or raccoons or cockroaches. But when it comes to cats and dogs, lions, tigers, bears, cardinals and eagles, and so on, I'm amazed how awesome these creatures are. And yes, the Lord is good to them. More of the Psalms, this time Psalm 104 and verse 21. "The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God." God uses you to feed your cat and dog, but who will feed the wild and untamed animals? God will. I think of the Lord Jesus' words to us in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, as he gives us cure for anxiety. Matthew 6, verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" In Genesis chapter 2, God gives us a more detailed account of his creation. Genesis 1 is like an overview, and Genesis 2 is greater detail. Genesis 1 and 2 are not two different creations, as some have suggested. Verse 19 and part of verse 20 of Genesis chapter 2 read like this: Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. I have always been quite interested in these verses. I see here the goodness of God to the man and to the animals whom Adam has been charged with naming. And then over in Genesis chapter 6, when the Lord gives the faithful man Noah very specific instructions about the ark, we read this in verses 19 and 20. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind and of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. God promised a great global deluge, and sure enough, it started raining and the flood waters increased greatly and prevailed on the whole earth, but those animals on that ark were preserved, as were Noah and his family. Well, that, my friends, is again the goodness of God to man and animal. And finally, I think of what the Lord said to Job in the 39th chapter of the book of Job, verse 1. Do you know the time the mountain goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the deer? The answer is no. Job does not know, but God does know. Why? Because God knows everything, and God is watching, being good to mountain goats and deer. God is good, and God does good, and His goodness is seen in His creation. Next time we will see how the goodness of God extends to all people, and specifically to God's chosen people. So, invite a friend if you would, and please plan to be with us as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.